Welcome to the Purple Stuff Podcast. Starring Jay from Sludge Central and Matt from Dinosaur Dracula.
Happy holidays, Jay.
Oh, thanks, Matt. Same to you. I feel very festive tonight.
Yeah, you got the lights going, little peppermint candles.
Pumpkin mint.
There you go. Very festive. I'm drinking Dunkin' Coffee out of their holiday cup this year. I'm sure you're familiar with it, the green one with the wreaths.
I got the green one. I like it. What do you think?
I like it, though I have to say, there is definitely a mishap in the sizing of this cup. The lids just do not stay on as well as they do their normal cups.
Oh, did you have a mishap?
I've had several, and I get my coffee large and black, so mishaps are a problem, Jay.
Listen, it doesn't have to be Christmas time or holidays. You spill the coffee, it doesn't matter.
Well, what I'm saying is next year, if they're going to do another set of holiday cups, maybe put a little more work into the technical end, because this one is just slightly off size.
This is off subject, but now they have an XL. Did you notice this?
You know what? One time I did accidentally get the XL. I don't know how he misheard me, but I got an XL, and it's like, it's ridiculous.
it's like a popcorn tub.
It is, and I get black coffee, so they hand this thing over to me. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? It's dangerous for me to pick that up.
If you split all of that into the actual amount of coffee that you drink in regular mugs all day, then it makes sense.
I do drink coffee all day, and when I was finished with that XL, I was ready to die.
So I'm drinking the Zoa, which is the Rocks brand of energy drink, but it's the Christmas version. So Dwayne Johnson is on the can dressed as Santa Claus, or Dwanta Claus, as he calls himself.
It's funny. You put the Rock on something, you'll buy it.
Yeah, not really. I'm not even a big Rock fan. I'm just like, you know, whatever.
Well, you like what he does with beverages.
Yes. He's a good beverage maker.
Good. That'll keep you full of pep for tonight's big show, which, what are we doing tonight here, Jay, on the Purple Stuff Podcast December show?
We are going to take a look at the 1985 Sears Winter Wish Book.
Ever wonder what Santa would do without his elves? The Sears Wish Book. Just make a list. Check it twice. Then call 1-800-366-3000. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh my God. So it's important for us to set the stage. Obviously, we're going to go through some highlights that we picked out. But for any of you youngins out there, believe the hype. Because this was like the end all be all for us.
This was kind of like the equivalent of how we have Amazon today. It makes it real easy to shop. This was the thing where it gave our parents the ease of looking at a catalog, and the kids would just point out the stuff they wanted, and then they just called and ordered it.
First of all, I have to skip down two paragraphs of my notes. Quote, it was like that era's version of Amazon. So thanks a lot, Jay. Now I have to talk on the fly. But you're absolutely right. Like, if you think back, this is pre-internet. Like, even fucking Toys R Us barely had catalogs back then. This was the only chance you had to see everything that was out there all at once in print.
The photographs, the atmosphere, it was all about the presentation.
I feel bad for children of the 90s, even though the Wish Book did continue in that era, because they started using like white backgrounds in all of the catalogs. Back in the 80s, every photo was like this massive photo shoot with like this done up bedroom or these fantastical scenes. It was amazing.
If you saw the sky in the background, there was shades of like purples and greens and clouds. Really, a lot of artistry went into this.
And what better way to illustrate how beautiful it was than with an all audio podcast?
Well, us gushing over a 40-year-old catalog, I mean, that's a high compliment.
Absolutely. And, you know, the whole idea of kids of the 80s being on their floor with like a legal pad and this catalog, totally accurate.
We had these catalogs in a collection stacked on top of each other, and they were in the corner of our living room in this wicker thing. It was almost like an art installation, but for the 80s.
Oh my God, I'm jealous because I was a tear guy.
Oh, you teared? I would fold the top.
You actually kept a scrapbook. So tonight we're going to name some of our favorite things from the Wish book. We are going to focus on the toys, though, like Jay hinted at before. The thing about the Wish book is that pretty much everything we grew up with was in that book. Furniture, fucking candy dishes, everything that you saw in your house as a kid.
Tents.
Was in the,
you want to go camping? We got it.
They got 17 fucking tents, and every one of them is shot in the woods.
The production value.
But the nostalgia that's going to be on tonight's show, this is a real deep dive into 80s toys. I think I'm going to start, if you don't mind.
Go for it, Matt.
Gonna dive in.
Number one.
The Force is back. The Rebels won't tire till they see the last of the Empire. And Kenner's there with Star Wars Return of the Jedi collection.
The next prisoner, Gamorrean guard.
Gladly, Jabba the Hutt.
C-3PO, Gamorrean guard, and Jabba the Hutt place at each soul separately.
Mr. Hutt, you've captured my friend. Free him and keep me instead.
That's a sorry tale, but this tale make you sorrier.
Jabba the Hutt place at and other action figures each soul separately from Star Wars Return of the Jedi collection from Kenner.
Right there on page 446, my first pick is the Jabba the Hutt action playsets.
Oh, man, so good.
Kenner's Star Wars collection. This is a big one for me, I assume for you too.
Oh, definitely.
Actually, it came out in 1983. It was in the clearance section in the 1985 Wish book. It was down to $9.99. A bargain, Jay.
It really was a bargain, and that's what we saw a lot of the Return of the Jedi stuff was going on clearance because it kind of took a backseat.
There was some Star Wars stuff going on in 85, but I think this is like the last year, actually, it would have appeared in the Wish book. So
yeah,
let's talk about the action playset. You got Jabba the Hutt, whose tail moved when you twisted his head. I loved that. He came with his big granite couch, which had a gated dungeon built right into it.
Is that the official terminology, the granite couch?
I don't know what Kenner called it, but I know, like, in canon, it's referred to as a dais.
Right, okay. Rock me, Amadeus.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing D-A-I-S is what they call it.
Oh, a dais, yes.
Dais, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Like a daybed.
A daybed for Jabba.
A granite daybed. Or a Murphy bed.
I love Murphy beds.
Yes.
Love them. So this gated dungeon that was built right into it, obviously that was a nod to the Rancor Pit from Return of the Jedi. Now let's talk about the accessories. You got Jabba's pipe and bowl. You got Salacious Crumb, who was his little like cackling monkey lizard pet.
Mm.
And you got a slave chain, which, oh, dude, this toy would not fly in 2023.
Yeah, well, I mean, you were talking about the hookah pipe. Is he going to get that? Probably not.
Is hookah a thing, or is that like a Star Wars thing? What is a hookah?
You kind of go to a place and it's got this big bowl and then there's multiple tubes and people smoke out of
it. I'm so stupid. A hookah lounge. Right. Of course. I've been to one. I did not find it appealing in the least. Like, well, what am I doing here?
If you were a big fat lizard, maybe.
The hookah pipe is one thing. The slave chain. I mean, this fucking guy, this is what he used in the movie to keep his like harem.
Yeah, what a jerk.
But obviously Kenner can't illustrate that in the box. They're not going to put Leia in the chain. So they put Luke. And I'm not sure if like that's improving things. It's basically just saying like Jabba's equal opportunity. I got this one for Christmas. I think it was 1984. I found it under a blanket in my parents' room during the Christmas Eve party because my mother was always like super late to wrap and she hadn't gotten around to it. Of course, once I found it, they had to give it to me because there's no way I was going to fucking wait. So picture me, like there's 45 people in the house and I'm on the floor in the living room, completely oblivious to everyone else for the rest of the night, just focused on Jabba.
Oh man, I love that story.
Yeah.
We say this thing when we feel like just gross after we eat all this food. Oh, so Jabba.
We've gotten better, but we used to have to say that quite often when we hung out. Oh my God, Bo Shooter, Jay.
De Jabba no bother.
Number two.
Coming from the farthest reaches of the universe to challenge the worst villains on Earth are the most powerful heroes ever in the Battle of the Superpowers Collection. Impossible. The Hall of Justice under attack. Batman behind bars. New from Kenner's Superpowers Collection. Hall of Justice playset. Some assembly required. Vehicles and figures sold separately.
Use the trap door, Batman!
Brainiac's taking over the computer. Joker in the elevator. Evil forces joining for a final assault. Who can restore order?
Superman!
Can Superman save the Hall of Justice? You decide.
Let's turn to page 445, Matt, for the Kenner Hall of Justice Superpowers Collection playset. This thing is iconic. I know that you weren't a big DC guy, but do you have any memories of this?
A friend of mine as a kid did have it, so I am slightly familiar with this playset. It always struck me as looking like a game show set from Nickelodeon or something.
It totally did. I never thought of it that way, but it's yellow, blue, and red. And it's really eye-catching, and it feels like it jumped out of the comic or the cartoon.
The front absolutely looks exactly like the Hall of Justice, but that inside, it's madness.
It's madness. It's got these
craziness inside.
Yeah, it's got like these three walls that split in the middle. There's so much to it. This had to be the biggest value on the market of toys in the history of time. Not only can you store action figures in there, there's a jail cell, there's a rejuvenation center, and you could put figures inside. And then there's also...
Wait, before you move on, rejuvenation center. Remember, I'm not a DC guy. What the fuck is that?
I guess if they get like beat up by a supervillain, then they could get put in the rejuvenation center.
I'm picturing like the Bacta tank from Star Wars.
Yeah, but there's nothing to it. You just put them like in a compartment.
You're rejuvenated.
Yeah, that's it. All done. So it's got an elevator, rooftop access, like a helipad. Then you could also say, well, it's a storage case. You can close it up. It's like a carrying case for your figures.
When it's sealed, it serves the same purpose as like a briefcase.
Yeah, and it has a handle and everything, which I
love. Oh my God, a handle.
Yeah, the handle. Can you imagine like a feature? The handle. It's amazing.
Well, let me ask you a question as somebody who isn't a DC guy. Now, this is Kenner Superpowers. Was this essentially a tie-in to the Super Friends show?
Yeah, so the Super Friends cartoon evolved in many different ways, and then it became Superpowers, the Galactic Guardians, and like different incarnations toward the end. And they just named the action figure set after that, and everything was branded Superpowers at the time.
Super Friends, the legendary Superpowers show.
This is so far beyond your shit. I love it because you were actually debating whether or not you were going to bring up the Hall of Justice, and I'm just like, I'm just staying quiet because I know where we're going to end. I know the Hall of Justice is going to be on the final list.
I didn't want to be so basic. You know, I'm like, of course he's picking the Hall of Justice. But I thought this was like the shit.
I'm more familiar with the Toy Biz DC Superheroes line, which came out later. Correct me if I'm wrong. That was kind of like a shitty version of this. This
it
was
totally
like,
was.
Right.
Was,
I mean, they were good, the but this was like a great, great toy line. This is like Kenner at their peak. They're making awesome stuff.
This Superpowers collection is one of the best of all time. Oh, another feature, the teleportation chamber.
Is that like the rejuvenation chamber where it doesn't actually do anything? You just pretend it's teleporting? How many more chambers are they going to throw in there?
Yeah.
Couldn't they just have a multi-purpose chamber for everything?
The multi-purpose chamber.
Comes with a rejuvenation chamber, a prison chamber, a teleportation chamber.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And, oh man, the commercial, fantastic. Chef's kiss.
Kenner made, like, just unbelievable toy commercials. And, you know, we're talking about the photography. I've seen this in a few Wish books. It's always so beautiful. Like, you have to get it once you see it in there.
They got a trap door. They got a stencil on the back. If you close the thing up, it's got a stencil. You put a piece of paper over it, and you could stencil all the characters.
Now, that's just excessive.
That's mic drop.
That's just so over the top. Who the fuck built a stencil into the Hall of Justice?
It's out of control. It's out of control.
How much did this thing cost? Probably like what?
No, it's interesting you brought that up because the metrics on this thing have gone up. They're going for like $700-$800. But back then it was $27.99.
You have one, right?
Of course.
Of course. I think this actually is on display.
It's on display in the living room.
The centerpiece.
Yeah.
Number three.
So, this is where the evil horde hides out.
The Fright Zone!
You put it together, Fright Zone. He-Man, Hordak, and Man-at-Arms figures each sold separately.
So nice of you two. Drop in for lunch.
The Fright Zone! Fright. The Fright Zone! Fright. The Fright Zone!
Your overgrown lizard doesn't scare me, Hordak.
Oh, no!
The Fright Zone!
The Fright Zone playset, you from the Evil Horde and Masters of the Universe collection. Action figures each sold separately from Mattel.
Over on page 445, for the low price of $28.99, we had the Masters of the Universe Fright Zone playset.
Fright Zone!
The Fright Zone! Basically, the Evil Horde's version of Castle Grayskull and Snake Mountain. And Jay, I've taken some heat for saying this over the years, but I'm going to stick with it. I got more enjoyment out of this playset than both of those other playsets.
Really?
I did.
I love this, but I mean, I don't know if anything would beat Grayskull for me.
I hear you, but listen to this pitch. You have to think of this less as a comparable toy to Grayskull or Snake Mountain, and more as like a haunted house attraction for He-Man figures.
You know, you're absolutely right. And thinking back, I remember playing with this thing so damn much because it was fun.
You could hardly call it a base because all this thing does is kill people. Every part of it kills you.
Yeah, sadistically.
Now, before we get deep into the... sadistically. Before we get deep into the place, I just have to mention the Horde characters, they were like so big time for me. They really renewed my interest in He-Man.
I love the Horde too.
I was going to say, since they mostly lived on She-Ra's cartoon, you had to be all about the Horde.
Oh, yeah.
The ultimate threat to the universe is here.
So the Fright Zone, it was built to look like this big, dark, rocky cave, and on top was this spooky plastic tree that could actually grab onto action figures.
Yes.
It's like the tree from The Evil Dead, but like He-Man's version.
Mm.
Then you have a jail cell on the left, and on the right, there's a big hole where a fucking giant monster puppet lives.
The Fright Zone!
So this puppet, I believe its official name was Horde Beast.
Yeah, the Horde Beast Monster.
Basically like a rubber sleeve that kids could put over half their arm. It sucks that it's kind of like relegated to our memories because that thing is so brittle, you can never wear it now.
So I guess there's this guy on YouTube who was restoring one, and they sell these rubber hand puppets of like dino heads. And there's one that he found that is a really great modernization, and you wouldn't even know the difference.
You would know that. You would have some trivia based on someone's obscure YouTube video about a replica Horde Beast.
I'm just saying, hey, if you want to buy an old one and relive the memories.
You know what the funny thing is, that people think that you're just spelling out research for the show. No, this is something you watched organically a few weekends ago.
Yeah, I love the Fright Zone. And you mentioned the She-Ra cartoon, right? The Fright Zone in the She-Ra cartoon was completely industrial and it was spooky looking, but it didn't look like this. So my rationalization was that the Fright Zone that we saw in the toy was the He-Man version, like on Eternia. If he was over there, maybe it was more primitive and not as industrial.
So you think this is almost like the vacation house Fright Zone?
Yeah, the bungalow.
Making his summer residence in Eternia.
In Hyannisport.
The simpler truth is probably that the Fright Zone from the cartoon on She-Ra, which, as you said, is very large and industrial, was impossible to make. So they just threw together this cave and said, you know what? This doesn't look like the cartoon counterpart, but it does have a puppet, so kids will buy it.
Listen, $28.99, when you're a little kid, that's a lot of money.
Basically, it costs the same amount as Grayskull and Snake Mountain, and right. It was pretty small compared to those two. But, again, rubber monster puppet.
You know what's great about it? The features, like you said, the puppet, the jail cell, the tree, they worked so well.
It's actually hilarious. It's like a Three Stooges short. You put an action figure in there, every step he makes, he's getting brutalized by something. And if he's not getting brutalized, it's because he's in prison. The Fright Zone!
Fright Zone!
Number four.
At last, I've got He-Man trapped with my walls of evil.
Oh, yeah? Bastrosaurus bashes evil away.
Skeletor He-Man figures and Bastrosaurus vehicle each sold separately.
Bash away.
Bastrosaurus, Bastrosaurus.
Next bash is on you, foam face.
Bastrosaurus, new from the Masters of the Universe collection. Not for use with some figures, each toy sold separately. From Mattel.
All right, Matt, following that up with page 456, and this is Bastrosaurus, which is a vehicle from Masters of the Universe. Bastrosaurus is this cool, red, spiky, dinosaur-looking type of vehicle where it had this mace, which was like a silver ball on a hand, and it would just bash things when you press the button.
As ridiculous as what you just said sounded, there is actually no other way to describe this completely absurd but still awesome vehicle.
And this was He-Man's vehicle. There's a spot for his sword and his shield, but just the look of it, it's like something out of Mad Max, or it's just so freaky looking.
It has essentially like a Triceratops head.
It's like a satanic looking dinosaur.
The thing looks alive even though it's a car.
For all we know, maybe it is alive. You don't really know, but it's almost like a medieval torture device on wheels.
What I love about these early Masters of the Universe toys, it's like the designers got stoned and just threw out these extremely vague kernels of ideas.
Yeah.
And somehow they went straight through mass production. Like, this is car that hammers things with a boulder. And somehow there's a million of them.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like He-Man crazy version of like Rat Fink. But with a dinosaur head.
Holy shit. I can't. First of all, I'm embarrassed that the Rat Fink mention is coming from you and not from me, because I was a big Rat Fink fan. When we do the 1989 Wish book, I'll be bringing up Rat Fink. But yes, it actually was very much like a souped up Rat Fink car. You're very focused on the design, and I understand why. It was beautiful. But let's be real. That fucking mace was the reason to get this thing.
Oh, yeah, because it just pounded everything in its path.
Pounded.
I don't think there is anything in the whole universe of He-Man toys that this thing wouldn't annihilate.
Let me read you this comment I found earlier on the YouTube commercial from Michael V. 3012. Had this as a kid, but my mom took it away from me for a week because I bashed my grandma's toe with it while she was napping. And it's like, we can relate, because that shit fucking hurt.
Exactly. Very uncharacteristic vehicle for He-Man, because as we said, it's very sadistic looking, this thing coming at you, medieval torture device looking. In the commercial, it's posed that he is basically after Skeletor and like hunting Skeletor.
It's actually a very ominous commercial. Like, it ends like almost on a cliffhanger, like, is Skeletor about to die at the hand of Bastrosaurus?
And you start to feel bad for him because this torture device is coming for him.
It is not a fair fight. Like, He-Man, get out of the car. If you want to put an end to this, fight fair.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second. He-Man's not the hero right
now. No, not at all. Like, he is an outright bully.
You're a loser, Skeletor.
Sometimes you had to give old Bashy a wheel alignment because the arm was all messed up, and then you would have to like click it back into place like it was like a shoulder separation.
I'm picturing you and your dad like with the car upside down in magnifying glass, like actually like you're in the garage.
Scrubs on. Yeah. You got rubber gloves.
Give me the wrench.
number 5.
Those lonely pound puppies really need to be rescued.
Pound puppy, I'm so glad to find you. Put that lonely puppy down behind you.
You need a name. I'll call you Freckles.
Lots of pound puppies need your love.
Ask for me, Petey.
And when they're this lonely and this lovable, one more is always welcome.
Come share in all our cuddling, caring puppy love.
Pound puppies. Each sold separately. From Tonka.
That's right, Jay. It's time for us to talk about pound puppies.
Oh, that was your pound puppy impression.
I know you're excited, good. As I understand it, you're a big fan of the pound puppies. You love them. When I told you I was bringing them up, you were elated.
Who doesn't love a pound puppy?
Apparently you.
I know. All of a sudden... I don't like pound puppies.
Originally, it was going to be something else in this slot, and I told you in the last minute, I'm going to go with pound puppies. You're like, oh, okay. Okay. Pound puppies. What page was that?
I have nothing. I love a good pound puppy.
You're sure they're in the 1985 wish book, huh? Yes, they were. Page 509, 1999 each. And I got one for Christmas in 1985. Wasn't even supposed to be my gift. My parents got it for one of my cousins. As soon as I saw that shit, I had to pull rank, Jay.
Of course, there were these soft velour pound puppies that were so cute and had droopy eyes, and you just wanted to adopt one.
They were adorable. Like, they kind of looked like mutant neck pillows, but in the vague shapes of dogs.
Yeah.
Really, really cute. And what isn't mentioned often about Tonka's pound puppies is that they were pretty obviously influenced by Cabbage Patch Kids.
Of course, yeah.
A big part of the draw was that they each came with an adoption certificate that let you name them, which, of course, that was a big CPK gimmick. And let me tell you, it was one thing to get my own pound puppy, Jay, but it was another to name him Coco. I was all in.
And that you had, you know, guardianship over it.
Yes, I had to take care of this dog, and I did.
You're legally obligated to this plush.
Look, I never had a Cabbage Patch Kid. I never even had a My Buddy doll, so this was my chance to really treat a toy like a living thing and just lavish attention on it.
Yeah.
Did you have a pound puppy, or did this one skip by you?
I'm glad you asked. because I never had one. Of course, I wanted one. But this was one of those things where I had to really pick and choose in my battles here, because this was 5704 by 2023 standards.
There actually are out now classic pound puppies that are really close to the originals, even come in the same style box. They're cheaper. They're $17.99 now.
Now, yeah.
So in 1999, 1985, like, what the fuck, Tonka? Like, that's quite a chunk of change.
Even with that ornate little caged box.
Yeah, they made the package, like the cardboard box, resemble a doghouse.
Such a great idea. What a great little cheap way to make it so fantastic.
I have to be honest, like, I had a couple of pound puppies. I think my first one, Coco, one love to Coco, wherever he is now. He's in doggy heaven. He's at the farm. But I ripped open his doghouse. My next one, I smartened up and I kept that shit. And it was such a cool add-on.
And like you mentioned, they're back at Target. I saw them on the end cap. So yeah, if you're hankering to adopt a pound puppy, now's your time.
Oh, Jay, I am absolutely
get
doing
it
this.
While the getting's good.
Coco the second. It's happening.
These lonely pound puppies need someone to love. Someone who'd love a little puppy love.
For you, Grandma.
Pound puppies are as cuddly as real puppies.
He'll keep you company in the dorm.
They're the perfect way to say, I love you. For birthdays, holidays, or any day. Pound puppies, so soft and adorably lonely. Sometimes the hardest thing about giving them,
Happy Valentine's Day,
is giving them up.
Pound puppy, you're my one and only puppy love.
Number 6.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
In one out of two homes in America, people rely on Kenmore appliances. No other brand can outsparkle, outfluff, or outsatisfy a Kenmore. So you don't have to go far to find the best. Come over to our house. Great low prices every day. Kenmore quality. That's your money's worth and a whole lot more.
All right, Matt, a little something different on page 521. It's the Little Kenmore appliances. which is a set of mock appliances that the kids could play with. So they're kid-sized, basically.
It was a way to essentially create a mock kitchen in your bedroom.
We have the dishwasher, then there's the microwave and the oven, the refrigerator, the sink. You had everything to make a kitchen for yourself and pretend to cook and stuff like that, which was, for some reason, appealing to me. I didn't need to own them, but I was always intrigued by these things when I was at other kids' houses.
I had the same thing. My cousin, the one that I mentioned earlier, she had one of these sets. And every time I went over to my uncle's house, I was just like enamored. And I think I figured out why. It was that it let you turn your bedroom into what looked like your own little apartment.
That's true. Like you were an adult and you had your own stuff. Yeah. No, that's a good point. So when you look at the prices here, you're looking at ranging from $26.99 to $34.99. Now that relative to, like, you can get a refrigerator for almost the price of the Fright Zone.
So, pound puppy or a washing machine?
Yeah.
This is a tough one.
What was going on? You can get the whole set for $128.96. Kitchen.
Which, I mean, $128.96, I don't know if you ran that calculator on that, baby, but that is a steep number. And I know kids who had stuff like that. The amount of play value that came from this. Now, I even asked for one for my mother. She thought it was either too old or too male to get me it. She shut me down.
Yeah.
I really wanted one because it was like off the charts. You would just get lost in this thing.
So it reminded me of, in the beginning of Silver Spoons, when Ricky Stratton is riding the little railroad through the mansion.
Oh, yes.
I just always loved things that were our size.
I love that you're correlating this Kenmore mock kitchen with the opening. The weirdest thing is that it actually is a sensible comparison.
Yeah. It's just like so odd because there's nothing really cool about this when you think about it. But
no, I actually think there is. The idea that like you could pretend to make your own food. And by the way, the play food accessory sets that you would get for this very often were like real store brands. So it would be like Cheerios and Oreos. There wouldn't be any cookies inside, but they would be like the real thing.
Or things that looked very close to the regular brands.
Right. I have to be honest, if it was me and I had like a play kitchen in my bedroom, that would absolutely be an excuse to raid the kitchen cabinets and bring real cookies into my bedroom.
I was going to say, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Get those fucking hi-hos over here. I got a kitchen over here.
I just also think if I was, I don't know, 5 years old, I'd be reading the features on this in the catalog saying, a twin basin sink. Are you effing kidding me? Let's get this right now.
Dad, what's a twin basin sink mean?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Can I get one?
Oh, man. And even like little details, you could click the knobs on like the oven or whatever you're using. It seemed like it was actually working.
This is Kenmore. They actually made appliances. There are a million similar kitchen play sets from this era. A lot of them are much shittier. This is like the top of the line. Like it's actually an analog to real appliances. Like this is the name brand.
You're right. And there was ones that were more like toy looking, like the Little Tykes. And I mean, I love those too. But yeah, this was very authentic. They marketed this as heavy gauge steel construction. If you wanted a kitchen like this, this is what you want. This is absolutely top of the line.
Yeah. It's wild because you look at those pictures and it's like, wait, it actually doesn't cook because it looks like it should. It's like that good looking.
And you know, when you look down further on the page, all these other companies would sell small cookware for these purposes, plastic plates and all that. So you could fill your cabinets.
What's the point of having a pretend kitchen if you don't have a pretend coffee pot to go with it?
For your 40 gallons of coffee.
Your XL from Duncan.
The American home. You'll find it in all shapes and sizes. And in one out of two of them, you'll find Kenmore appliances. Because people know that no other brand can outsparkle, outsatisfy, or outclean a Kenmore. So come over to our house. Great low prices every day, Kenmore quality. That's your money's worth and a whole lot more.
And the skies are not cloudy.
Number 7.
to help them in their never-ending battle against the evil Decepticons, the Autobots create a new breed of robot, Dinobots.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye. Dinobots take their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. The Transformers.
The Decepticons are attacking. The Dinobots will get them. Can't beat the Dinobots.
Sold separately from Hasbro.
Over on page 450 for $12.99 a piece, you could grab the Hasbro Transformers Dinobots figures.
Oh, Dinobots.
Dinobots, Grimlock, Swoop, Sludge, Snarl, and Slag. No, you were not the biggest Transformers guy, but you had to at least be into the Dinobots.
Everybody had Transformers. That's the thing. Like, you didn't have to be deep into Transformers to have like 100 of them.
True. Which yeah, no, because I mean, there was just such an there was such a big thing, especially in 85.
When all the main G1 characters came out, like, I had them when they first came out. Of course, you didn't even think to keep them.
Well, it wouldn't have even been an option for someone like me because they did break pretty easily.
They did. They
I mean, I had all five Dinobots and all five of them broke within like 2 months of Christmas. I got them from my older brother who gave me all five of them and he wrote the gift tags to make it look like various Autobots.
No way.
Yeah. So like Grimlock was from Prime and Swoop was from someone else. It was so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was the nicest thing he ever did for me.
That is so cool. I love that.
$12.99. I mean, that's pretty expensive for an action figure in 1985, but these were very high end.
What a cool concept. I'm totally into the hybrid of the dinosaur robots.
I was actually watching the old cartoon a lot recently on Tubi, and I forgot what a moon push they gave the Dinobots on that show. Like, they almost pulled an Urkel on that show. Like, suddenly it was all about the Dinobots for a while.
Oh, it was like the NWO. They just took over the world.
They just completely took over, and especially Grimlock. You have to remember a little bit of Grimlock from the cartoon. Like, he was just so quotable.
I never thought I'd be so happy to see those big bozos.
Me Grimlock, no bozo, me king.
But yeah, they were fragile. I broke every single one of them. You know when you just loved your action figure so much that even when you broke it, you still included it in your adventures?
Of course, yeah.
Swoop had no wings. Grimlock had no head. I didn't care. They were still in the fucking mix, Jay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're not going to just kick them to the curb.
Absolutely not. And, you know, you had Transformers, I had Transformers. The thing about those figures, every time you got one, you felt like you just got like some expensive antique. Like they were so
absolutely.
Like, oh my God, a Transformers toy. Holy shit.
Yeah, they were like the Cadillac of toys, especially those early series. Like they felt so impressive and expensive. And what a great opportunity when you got Santa looking through this catalog here. Oh, we could order all of them in one
fell swoop.
Good pie, Cal Swoop, good pie.
I have lost track of the Dinobots over the years. I've lost track of the entire franchise, to be honest.
Well, this is crazy because freaking Transformers is so deep. You can't even read a Wikipedia page.
No,
you can't even get through it without your mind bending in a million different directions.
When you go on that Transformers wiki, like you're thinking 1985 to 1987, let's say.
Yeah.
That'll be one paragraph of like a page that goes on forever. Forever. Like you actually crash a modern Mac trying to load Grimlock's fucking wiki page on the Transformers wiki.
Plus, like every paragraph is like, it sounds like The Young and the Restless.
Don't they add some drama?
I know.
And every single one of them has died 8 times and like you can't follow it. It actually like your mind explodes trying to follow Transformers lore.
That's what I'm saying.
But man, back in the 80s there was just nothing cooler than the Dinobots. I remember like we would be on the playground playing Transformers, like everyone fought over who got to be the Dinobots.
Yeah. And I love the commercial where the kid's eyes go green and his voice gets all computerized.
Classic. Also, it's just slightly frightening. I got to imagine that that was nightmare fuel for some youngins.
Definitely.
Number 8.
Yum, yum. It's time for a tasty and refreshing snack.
Opening up to page 497, Matt, for the Barbie Snack Shack. Now, this is not official Mattel Barbie, but it's a snack shack that can be used with Barbies.
What was so interesting to me is that in the Wish book, they really don't make it clear that it's not an official Barbie product.
And this is what was great about the time when we were growing up and getting into toys and stuff, is that all these other companies were just opportunistic and said, hey, let's produce a playset or whatever and make it compatible with Barbie-sized dolls.
Back in the 80s, it wasn't just Barbie. They did this with He-Man, other toy lines. Like, it was such a hot industry,
right,
that other companies would just like piggyback.
Yeah, exactly. And then they would put it on the page with the other dolls and you're like,
so sneaky.
Yeah. But hey, the business was booming, right?
Apparently.
This was $9.99 the prior year and it was $2 off in this catalog. Okay, I bring up Barbie ad nauseum. I'm sick of myself bringing up Barbie. But the thing is, she had the coolest shit.
We have said it before in the show. It so sucks that boys' toys were all about war. I wanted some simple slices of life like Barbie had. Jacuzzis and snack shacks, goddammit.
Right, exactly. So this thing is out of control. My first thought wasn't ever like, oh, let me play with the Barbies with this thing. It was more like the LJNs are going to go get a snack and then George Steele is going to get into a fight with Randy Savage at the snack shack.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. If you could have stand to ask Santa for something that pink, you totally would have done it.
Yeah, exactly. So this thing was great. It had the facade of the snack shack, but also it was realistic behind the counter in case you wanted like Skipper to be flipping burgers behind the counter, like Elizabeth Shue in the Burger King commercial.
It actually reminded me of the schematic of it. It was sort of like what you would see at a Little League game, like that sort of snack shack, a little bit shorter, but that idea.
Yeah, and they had little benches that were connected with the wrought iron underneath, like very retro looking. They had a picnic table with an umbrella. And different little actual miniature foods like burgers, and there was also fries, which the fries look like a thing of McDonald's fries, but I wanted to see if you caught, how many fries do you think are in that bucket?
I'm looking at a picture of it now, and it's like pictured next to the plastic burger. The container of fries is roughly 17 times larger than that. Each fry in there would have to be approximately 16 feet long. I would imagine there is roughly 1,500 fries in that container.
So the burger is like 35 times the size of Barbie's tiny little hands.
Yes. It's actually off model. The food is so big compared to everything else.
It's just so enjoyable to gaze at the craftsmanship here. Like, they put so much detail.
It's like we're in a fucking Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie. It's like they got a real snack shack and shrunk it down. Yeah. It is unbelievably accurate to that time, down to like the little font on the menus with the prices. It makes you so remorseful that boys didn't get anything like this.
I know.
Nothing.
Just the picnic table alone would be great.
Just think about all of the fun that you had with your action figures and the playsets, your halls of justices and all of that shit. Imagine how much more.
It ain't nothing.
If you had a snack shack
yeah.
to serve fucking Superman fries, come on.
It's a super burger.
Surely it's a super size burger.
He's the only man that can put that away.
We can't be alone. You know that pretty much every other boy was going through these catalogs wishing they could get away with getting this stuff.
Hot dog.
Hot dog? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. The hot dogs at our concession stand do rate an appreciative whistle.
So, Jay, that was our look back at the 1985 Sears Wishbook. I do want to point out that we used wishbookweb.com as a resource, which is actually run by our friend Jason, otherwise known as Collecting Candy. Great guy. They have a lot of old toy catalogs. They do a great thing over there, so go check them out.
All right, man, let me run through your picks tonight. We have some awesome picks. Jabba the Hutt on his granite Murphy bed.
His dais.
Yeah.
Fright Zone! The Fright Zone!
Yeah, I love the Fright Zone. The evil hordes hide out.
With the horde beasts.
The pound puppies. The Dinobots. Let's see.
I like how you couldn't have glossed over the pound puppies any quicker.
All right, listen. I got to cut to the chase. The Fright Zone is freaking amazing and one of my favorite playsets of all time. I'm not going to not go with the Fright Zone. I love the Evil Horde. Like you said, they're one of my favorite factions of all pop culture factions.
Well, I mean, think about it. It's so cool. Like, we have the good guys and we have the bad guys, and now we have the even badder guys.
The badder guys.
Like, this is crazy. When you're a little kid, you're like, oh my God, I am in love with this team.
But we had this in all things. Like, we had the Dreadnoughts, the cool bad guys.
Right. That was a prevalent thing in 80s toy lines, especially, and they were always the ones you would gravitate to.
Yeah, so the Horde with their hangout and so many cool features, it is a magnificent playset. And I really do hope that we get a re-release on that.
Everything else, including I think even Eternia has at least been propositioned as a re-release.
I did a crowdfund of it.
Color me surprised. You were the one who got it crowdfunded. You ordered three to make it happen. But they've never done a Fright Zone, which is odd.
It was on the table. They did a vote, and it didn't win. I voted for it.
What was the other option?
There was a lot of other options, but this was the way to go, and it didn't happen.
That's so stupid, but a good pick, the Fright Zone. Let me look at yours.
All right.
Tonight, you brought up the entire line of Kenmore play kitchen accessories.
Yeah.
Which I'm just looking at the picture in the catalog again. I mean, it looks like it's 12 feet worth of toys. It's crazy.
It's a whole wall of stuff.
It's like, I don't even think that would have fit in my bedroom as a kid. You brought up the Hall of Justice from the Kenner Super Powers collection.
Mm.
An amazing playset with apparently the ability to let you stencil things.
Yes!
Incredible. You brought up the Not Quite Barbie Snack Shack. Which came with the giant fries and a picnic table. And you brought up the He-Man Masters of the Universe Basha.
Bashasaurus.
The most ridiculously awesome vehicle, perhaps in the entire collection. But I am going with the Not Quite Barbie Snack Shack.
Oh, really? Wow.
I was not the kind of kid who made his action figures like wrestle and bash each other. There was some palace intrigue, but mostly they were just hanging out. This would have been a game changer, Jay.
I'm surprised.
This would have been Grand fucking Central for my toys. Like, I want this so bad that I'm actually tempted to go buy it now. That orange and yellow umbrella. I feel like I'm getting Curly's fries in Wildwood in 1985.
Yeah, I think you went with the right choice.
Excellent. Speaking of choices, we have two more over on Patreon. We did another mini bonus, a little extra for the Patronies, Jay.
Yes. Give a little shot in the arm.
Right. So head on over to patreon.com/purplestuff, where we have talked about two more things from the 1985 Sears Wish Book, and our regularly scheduled bonus show is coming later this month.
Looking forward to that. And it's been an enjoyable evening, I'd have to say. Thanks for listening to the Purple Stuff Podcast. I am Jay from Sludge Central.
I am Matt from Dinosaur Dracula.
And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Purple Stuff Podcast.